Yes, Rabbeisai, time is running out. Just a little bit, a thought or two about Purim. The name of the Yom Tov being Purim is rather strange. As the Megillah says, Al-Kain Koru La-Yom Eilu Purim. Why is it called Purim? Al-Shem Ha-Pur, because of the lots, which the Goyro, which Haman drew lots in order to work out on which day the Gezeirah should be. So it seems to be a little bit of a minor detail in the whole story that Haman decided which day to make the Gezeirah because he drew a lottery, he drew lots out of the hat to pick the day. So that's the whole Yom Tov is because he drew lots. There are more important aspects to the story that Lechura could have been chosen for the name of the Yom Tov. So I saw in the Sefer that I have a Rav Goldwasser Shlita, a Mashgiach of Or Yisrael, who explained it very nicely in the following way. Let's think for a moment about Tanis Esther. What's the concept behind Tanis Esther? Why do we fast? So if you look in the Rambam, when it talks about the Tanesim Medrabonon, so you know there are five Tanesim Medrabonon, four of them are Zeicha Lechurban, Shivas Vatamos, Tishuba Av, Tzeng Gedalia, Sarba Teves. So the Rambam groups those together as one group of Tanesim, and then Tanis Esther he lists separately that it has a different concept. The beginning of Peret Hei, Hilchos Tanis, so he says that there are days which we fast because of the tzoros that happened to us in the times gone by, and it's a zecha to us that we haven't really done much better than them because they caused the Chumah Beis HaMikdash, and we still haven't got the Beis HaMikdash today, so we're repeating the same faults that they have. Otherwise, the Beis HaMikdash would have been built already. So it arouses us to do tshuva because we haven't got the Beis HaMikdash ve'elohein, and it is the four Tanisim in Halacha Beis. And then a few halachas later, in Halacha Hey, he speaks about Tanis Esther, and he says, and also Chazal instituted the Tanis of Tanis Esther on Yud Gimel of Adar. What's that for? Zeicha to the Tanis that Klal Yisrael fasted in the days of Haman. And why have we got to fast as a Zeicha? Because it says so in the Megillah. Divrei Atzoimus Vazakosom. Mordechai and Esther not only fixed for all time the celebration on Purim, but he also fixed that we should fast prior to the celebrations to remember the Tzoimus Vazakosom, because they fasted and they davened in order to be mevatel the Gezeirah of Haman. So the obvious question is, we're not under the same threat of Haman anymore. That's been and gone. Baruch Hashem, they davened, they fasted, they won battle the Gezeirah. I understand that the four Tanaisim, which is Eich HaLechorban, we have to remember because we're still suffering from the Chorban. So the Averas, which they did, which caused the Chorban, we're still repeating. That's why we still haven't got the Beis HaMikdash again. So it's to remind us to mend our ways that should be improved. In order to be Zechot the Beis HaMikdash. But we fast on Tanis Esther to remember that Klal Yisrael fasted them. What's that got to do with me, that they fasted them? They fasted them because they were under the Gezeirah of annihilation by Haman. We're not under a threat over our heads of annihilation by Haman. So we have to fast to remember that they fasted. And another question is, this is the wrong time of the year, because they fasted in Nisan. The Gezeirah of Haman was made on Yud Gimel Nisan. And that's when he sent the letters out, that in another 11 months' time, and Yud Gimel Adar, we're going to chas v'shalom wipe out the Jews. And Mordechai and Esther heard all about it, and they said, we've got a fast now, and they were going to a fast of 3 days, and they fasted the next 3 days. Yud Dalet, Tesvav, Tezayin. There was no Pesach that year, no matzahs, no wine, no seder, because they were busy fasting. So if we are going to fast to remember the fast that they had in those days, we should have the fast in Nisan. We said, well, we can't fast in Nisan because it's a Simchatik month, so... But it doesn't make sense. Lechura, we're fasting at the wrong time of the year. So the answer is as poshut as could be, that Klal Yisrael certainly fasted on Yud Gimel Adar that year. The Mishnah Berurah writes it. The Mishnah says that the Tanis Esther that we fast on Yud Gimel Adar is not a zecher to the fasting that they fasted in Nisan to be mevatel the Gezeirah. It's important to know what we're making a zecher to. The Rambam, you could misunderstand. It's the Rambam says that we fast on Tanis Esther as a zeicha to the Tanis that they fasted b'mei Haman. When? So you can make a mistake of thinking that they did fast in Nisan. But our Tanis Esther is not a zeicha to their fasting in Nisan. Our Tanis Esther on Yud Gimel Adar is a zeicha to their Tanis that they definitely fast on Yud Gimel Adar. Even though it doesn't say so anywhere in the Pesukim. But it's understood, says the Mishnah Berurah, how do I know that for sure they fasted on Yud Gimel Adar? Now, it's not very conducive to fighting a milchama if you're starving. You know, ask the soldiers whether they need to eat well on the day they go out to fight a battle or whether they should fast on that day. You need all the koyach that you got physically. But like, so when they go out to battle, they don't go out and battle with physical koyach. They go out and battle with siyata d'shmaya, and it's all nisim and nifloys. So we need zechusim to go out and fight. So, says the Mishnah Berurah, we certainly know that it's assumed that they fasted when they went out to fight the Amalekim on Yud Gimel Adar, because that was what they did in the Midbar. And that's the Mefurash of Chazal, that when Amalek came to attack Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the top of the Har and he had his hands pointing highwards in order that people should remember to be Meshaved the hearts of the Rabbeinu Shalaylam, say Chazal, that they were fasting. Not only Moshe Rabbeinu was fasting, but Klal Yisrael were fasting, and all the soldiers were fasting as well. What's the idea of fasting? So the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchos Ta'anis, what's the whole concept of fasting? The concept of fasting is to be able to daven better. It's a bit of a chiddush that people maybe don't realize, that the maila of a ta'anis is that tefillahs are stronger when you're fasting. Now we all know it from Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, you forget about food. Who's interested in eating Yom Kippur? We want a kapara, we want to cling our minds to the Rebbeinu Shalom for 24 hours. So we don't think about food, and the tefillahs are therefore much stronger. Says the Rambam at the beginning of the Tanis, that when a person has tzorois, so he should daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and part of the concept of tshuva, of davening to the Rebbeinu Shalom, is Tanis. He says, mitzvah sasei to be zoyek and lahoria on a tzorah that comes upon a person, and it's from the darkei tshuva. And medivrei soifrim is lis anois al kotzorah shatova latziba shirachva min hashamayim. And on what you do on the days of the Tanis, you zoyek mitzvilas or mischaninim. The purpose of a Tanis, so the Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchas Tanis, that the purpose of a Tanis is tshuva. And he warns people that just loaf around and waste the time all day long on a Tanis and they think the yotze are by fasting. That's not the ikka. The Mishnah Berurah says that the ikka tachlis of a Tanis is tshuva. But the Rambam says the ikka tachlis of a Tanis is tefillah. Of course, it all goes together. And when you're being mispalas to the Rebbeinu Shalom, you're being mispalas to the Rebbeinu Shalom, they shall take away the Tzara and shall bring us all Yeshuais. So, says the Mishnah Berurah, since Chazal tell us that when they went out to fight Amalek in the Midbar, they all fasted and davened for Yeshua, and the Yeshua was Lamalim and Ateva. Of course, the Amalekim were much stronger, they were all Kishuf makers, and the Nefesh HaChaim, the Rechaim Volozhin explains that how were they Matzliach? How were they Masliach in the Ta'anis? They were Meshabed Libam Lavi and Sheba Shamayim. What's Moshe Ben have to put his hands up all day long? And when he got tired, he had to put his hands down. Says the Ruchayim Volozhiner, that since the Amalekim did not believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom's Hashgacha over Klal Yisrael, so the way to defeat them is in the opposite Koyach, to remember that everything in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shalom, there's nothing which is outside the realm of the Rebbeinu Shalom. As we explained a little bit in Parsha Zocha, that Amalek represents the Kfira in Hashgacha Protis of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So the way one can defeat Amalek in battle is exactly the opposite, by being Meshabed one's mind and one's heart to the Rebbeinu Shalom, understanding that everything in the whole world is nothing more than the Rebbeinu Shalom's Rotzon, Ein Oid Milvadoi, and that's the way we defeat Amalek. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that was Haidu Matzliach on Yud Gimel Adar in the Purim story, to go out and fight against the Amalekim by Tanis and Tefilois and Meshavet Livlom Avim Meshavet Shomayim, and that brought the Hatzlacha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's why Mordechai and Esther set up for all Doirois Tanis Esther every year. That answers the question that we began with. Why do we fast now? We're not under the Gzeira of Haman anymore. But Mordechai and Esther wanted us to realize how we can get out of any calamity that we're under. The way we get out of tzoros and calamities is by realizing everything comes from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Nothing is by chance. When a person is meshabed his heart to the Rebbeinu Shalom and is mekabel the matzav as being direct hashgacha protis on the Rebbeinu Shalom, and nothing chas v'shalom is a mikra, nothing by chance. So that is ma'ira the rachmei shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the calamities and the problems on people because they're not thinking about the Rebbeinu Shalom sufficiently. If a person would think about the Rebbeinu Shalom morning, noon, and night, he wouldn't need to have tzoros. He can be thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom all day long for all the tovus which is given him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should be aware of him all day long. So if we're aware of the Rebbeinu Shalom from Toivoy, so we don't need Tzoros and Yisurim and then the pogroms or anything else, but the Rebbeinu Shalom says, you've forgotten all about me. You go about your daily affairs and you've forgotten all about me. And even the Tefillas Chas V'Shalom can be lip service. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, I want you to think about me. If necessary, I'll have to bring calamities and I'll have to bring Tzoros. So when a person's in Tzoros, he remembers the Rebbeinu Shalom all of a sudden. But the tachlis of the Tzoros is that a person should cling his mind to the Rebbeinu Shleilam and remember everything comes from him, Haslacha comes from him, and all the matzavim in life come from the Rebbeinu Shleilam. And that is the Divrei Tzomus of Zaha Koson, that Mordechai and Esther wanted that we should realize how we can bring Yeshuas. The derech to bring Yeshuas is Divrei Tzomus of Zaha Koson. Through Tanis and through Tefillos, we can be Ma'irach Meshamayim. All the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that Tanis Esther is a wonderful day for opening the heavens, for Yeshua's, for Nechomois, because it's a day which is set aside, like Yom Kippur, for Tanis and for Tefillah. It has Kedusha similar to Yom Kippur. All the Sfarim say, take out time on Tanis Esther to be Mespala for your troubles of the Klal Yisrael. It's very, very Mesugal for the Ben Shom to answer on Tefillos. This was a Hakadoma to the Purim story. The Hakadoma to the Yeshua was remembering that everything is in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. To answer the Indian about the poor, it goes like this. Says Rav Goldwasser the following: Amalek and Haman are the prime representatives of the concept of mikra. Everything happens by chance. When the table started turning over for Haman, he was riding on a high, and he was appointed the highest in the whole Medina, and he had all the glory which he wanted, and all the wealth which he wanted. Everybody's bowing down to him, and Mordechai is not bowing down to him, and is full of rage, and he's got this plan. He's going to come to Ahasuerus and tell them they've got to hang up this Mordechai, this Jew, who's just getting under his nose. And the tables start turning over, and Ahasuerus says, go and take Mordechai and ride him on the horse through the street. And Haman all of a sudden topples over. He's riding on the highest wave, and all of a sudden he's got to take Mordechai through the streets and sings Miras in front of him. And he comes home, and what does he tell the family? He reports to them, Kol Asher Karahu, everything that's just happened. What a bad luck! I had a bad day today. What an unlucky day, he says to them. Everything was going nicely for me over the last few months, for the last few years. I had an unlucky day. Unlucky day. So what did the advisors, what did his wife and all his advisors say to him? Forget your entire plan, because when Klal Yisrael are riding on high, you're in trouble. They wanted to try to tell him that the Rebbeinu Shalom is looking after Mordechai, is looking after Klal Yisrael. You'll never win against the Rebbeinu Shalom. So what did he say to them? Hey, what are you talking about? It was a fluke. It was a mikra. The Rebbeinu Shalom is nothing. Tomorrow will be a better day. So he was the prime representative of mikra. Everything is by chance. And the way Klal Yisrael overcome Amalek, like we said, is exactly the opposite. To realize that there's no such thing as chance in the world. Everything is planned by the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Hasidic world say that the oasis of Mikra can be turned around to be Rakmei Hashem. Only from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But on a more poshut pshat level, it's interesting to know that the word Mikra is often used in Tanakh to denote Hashgacha Protis of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Not a chance happening. We have by Yaakov Avinu, when he came in to get the brachos from Yitzchak Avinu, so Yitzchak Avinu says to him, how do you manage to come back so fast? I only sent you a few minutes ago to get some food. Didn't know it was Yaakov, thought it was Esau. What did Yaakov Avinu say? Ki hikra Hashem alakech lefanai. I just happened to find the meat quite quickly. I just happened to do it. Yaakov Avinu speaks like that. Just hikra. And what happens when Ruth goes into the field and she just happens to turn up in the field of Boaz? Of all the thousands of fields, she just turns up in that field. So the pasuk says, Vayikar mikreho. It just so happened that she came into that field. It was just by chance. So you see from here that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Davka puts into Tanakh, because it's all written by Ruach HaKodesh, a word which the Goyim understand to mean absolute chance, and Klal Yisrael take it to mean exactly the opposite, because the greatest Hashgacha Pratis is in events that don't seem to have any explanation behind them. So the Goyim say, "Woo, it's just bad mazel, just luck, bad luck." And Klal Yisrael say, just those very incidents that don't seem to have any rhyme and reason behind them is organized davka by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with the greatest Hashgacha Pratis. So the same word mikra means to them the exact opposite of what it means to us. And the same is lots with Goyrol. the one activity that is most open to chance and unpredictable is drawing lots. Nobody can predict the outcome when you pull a number out of the box. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. That's why Haman did the decision this way. Why didn't Haman just open the diary and pick a lucky day? No, he has to do it by Goyro, because that his whole shitta is based upon that. Mikra, that's his shitta. Whatever comes out by luck, is that that's my lucky day. It's all by chance. And we say that Goyrol is the greatest Hashgacha Pratis. What do we do? How do we draw on Yom Kippur? How do we decide which goat is for Azazel and which goat is for Hashem? By a Goyrol. A Goyrol is the greatest Hashgacha Pratis, because there's no rhyme and reason behind it. So it must be the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is behind it. So the Pur, which is the Goyrol, is the turning point between the understanding of Hashgacha Pratis or being a Mikra. The same word Mikra, which can mean either a fluky chance or it can mean Hashgacha Pratis, the same as a Goyrol. A Goyrol is either understood as pure sheer chance with no rhyme or reason behind it. Just that's how things happen to be, a Mikra. Or, if we understand the Hashgacha Pratis properly, it's the greatest Hashgacha Pratis because it's totally unpredictable, so therefore it must be the Rosh Hashanah who predicted it. If a person wins a lottery ticket, so what would you say, it was a fluke? That's the greatest Hashgacha Pratis in the world. The person who wins the lottery is the Hashgacha Pratis. You know, people sometimes when they have these lottery tickets for tzedakah, buy 10 tickets, you get more chance. It's kfira. You don't have more chance about buying 10 tickets. If you're going to win the lottery, you'll win the lottery with one ticket as well. If you're going to lose, you'll lose with 100 tickets as well. You don't have more chance by buying 100 tickets. That's kfira. That's what the goyim say. It's all potluck. So increase your chances. Buy 100 tickets. Of course, it's nice to give more money to tzedakah. Okay, but to say you have a bigger chance is mamish kfira. That's Amalek. If you're going to win, you're going to win with one ticket anyway. It doesn't increase your chance. The person who wins the lottery ticket is decided by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Hashgacha Pratis. So the message of Purim and the message of Tanis Esther is everything that happens in the entire Bria is completely by Hashgacha Pratis, and therefore we have to be Meshabed our hearts, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, morning, noon and night, because the person who is closest, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we once spoke about this, time doesn't allow, the more you connect to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the more Hashgacha Pratis you have over you. There's degrees of Hashgacha Pratis. The more you believe in Hashgacha Pratis, the more Hashgacha Pratis works for you. I just wanted to finish with a vote of the Briska Rav. I know it's almost time, but the Briska Rav says, if you look at the Rambam, at the beginning of his Sefer Yad, so he lists the Taryag Mitzvahs, and the end of Taryag Mitzvahs, he says that there are Mitzvahs Rabbanon which the Chazal added, and among the Mitzvahs the Chazal added is Mikra Megillah. And the Rambam says, what's the point of Mikra Megillah? Why do we read the Megillah Bichlal? Says the Rambam over here, Sivonu likrois haMegillah. We have to read the Megillah kadei lahaskir shavachav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, to praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu for all He did for us. A truas shasalonu and the Yeshuas which He brought. V'hayakar the Shavaseinu and He answered our tefilois kadei levaruchoy lahaloloi, in order to praise Him for all that He did. Ukadei lahoidia ledoirois, and in order to publicize for all generations haboim who come. That the pasuk which is in the Torah is true. The reading of the Megillah is a declaration of the truth of the pasuk in Chumash. Which pasuk in Chumash are we justifying by reading the Megillah? Ki mi goy gadol ashaloi alekim karovim eilav, kashem alekeinu v'chol kareinu eilav. That whoever calls out to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and he puts his mind to the fact that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam does everything in the world, and he's the only address that you can turn to, he answers us, B'chol Koreinu Eilov. And where do we see that in the Megillah? Because that is exactly how we defeated Amalek, by understanding that nothing is by chance, nothing is a Mikra. And the Briskarov says, now when you sing it, you'll understand what you're saying, and I'll finish with this. The Briskarov says, that is the Pshat in Shoshanas Yaakov. It says, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzolos HaMeichov, Yerosim Yachten, Es Mordechai, Tshuosom Yisol, Nesem, Sikvosom, Chol Doiv, Odeh, Lehoidia. In other words, says the Briska Rav, why do we read the Megillah? Lohidia, in order to tell all of Klal Yisrael, all Doirois, this message. What's the message of the Megillah? What do we learn from the Megillah? Shekol kevecha lo yevoshev lo yikomol nesach kol ha-chaysin boch. Whoever trusts in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and understands that his entire life is in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, He puts his trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lo yikom olam netzach. Hashem Baruch Hu will be on his side. He'll have hashgacha pratis and he'll be saved from all tzaras. All the yeshuas come from the knowledge that you're under the control of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nothing is a coincidence. Nothing is a chance happening. There's no such thing as a mikra. Purim is our lot, as it says in the piyut. Pur Haman and nepach lepureinu. There's the pur of Haman and there's our pur. Our pur, our goyul is hashgacha pratis. We should all be zeirat to tefillas yeshua is hashgacha pratis. Yud Shleima.
Why is it this called a poor? Because it's not a poor.
Poor means the lot.
But it's not a lot. It's a lot.
It's a goy roll.
It's not a goy roll in the sense of. Okay. The Shpurchu has the whole.
Like the girl of Yom Kippur. Like the girl.
Why is it? No, the girl of Yom Kippur is the.